Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
I played a number of different sports when I was in high school and college until I ruined my knee and had to have surgery in college, and then I didn't play after that. But when you're in a sport, any team sport, anybody play any team sports, whether intramural or high school, anybody play any team sports? Raise your hands online if you played team sports, field hockey, you know, ice hockey. If you played even a pickup sport, you pick up, you know, I used to play ice hockey, and our goal was to try to fall through the ice and survive. We did that every year on the lake, you know, and played ice hockey. And, we always fell through. But we didn't play where it was deep, so we played where it was shallow. But the whole point is that a team sport, you learn some things. First of all, it's a team effort. If you're in a team sport, there can be one person who's like the best, one person who's a superstar. Who knows college football? Anybody ever watch college football? Okay, couple. How many guards or tackles ever win the Heisman Trophy? Any guards or tackles ever win? Anybody know what the Heisman Trophy is? You don't follow football. Heisman Trophy is like the top award that a college athlete can get in football. Never do the people in the line, you know, the ones who play guard or tackle, those are in the line, those are the grunt positions. Never do they ever win this, even though they can be phenomenal, and it's because of their effort that the halfback or the quarterback is able to do what they do. But it's always the quarterback, sometimes a wide receiver, but not often. It's usually the quarterback or one of the running backs. They get all the accolades. They get all the attention. They get all the press. They get all the awards. And yet, each and every person on that team must play their position as a team effort. In order to let that guy shine, they've got to do their job without a lot of rewards. They got to work together. A team, if you're in a team sport, you've got to work together. If you don't work together, if you break down, the whole team breaks down. If you break down at your position, then everything goes wrong because everybody's got to work together. Every player is necessary. Every player is necessary. Now, I don't know where they get these college kids. You know, when I went to college, I was basically like I am now, except about 40 pounds less. And the people that play ball, if you ever look at them, they're like, 350 pounds? Where do they grow these people? I don't know. What farm do they pick them up on? But because, okay, anybody can be 6'8", 350 pounds, but they run like faster than any of us. And that's what I can't figure out. How does something that big move so fast? And so these people are phenomenal. And yet everyone is necessary. Every player, whether you're the star quarterback or you're the center, not all he does, but he's responsible to get the ball back to the quarterback and block. Without him, you can't do it. And I'm using football because that's the one I'm most familiar with, but I imagine pitchers are necessary, right, Gene? A pitcher is necessary in baseball. Without the pitcher, you know, you can't have a no-hitter. I guess you would have a no-hitter without the pitcher. Actually, you don't need the pitcher, right, for a no-hitter. And so there's no pitches. Everybody has an individual role. Everyone has it on any team sport. Everyone has an individual role. How many of you are basketball fans? Who's a basketball fan? I was terrible at that too. But there's particular roles in basketball, right? You have, I don't know what the positions are, but I know there are particular roles. How about soccer, European football? All right, you have strikers. I love that. I'd like to be a striker. I like to go around striking people. Strikers, right? You have a position called the striker. And then you have defensive positions. Well, obviously, a striker is not a defensive position, right? A striker, you're out there. You're scoring the goals. You have a goalie. And the goalie, you know, half the game, the goalie's just hanging out. And the other half of the game, the goalie's being bombarded. Can you imagine being an ice hockey goalie? Those hard pucks coming at you at 110 miles an hour? Amazing. That's why they have all those pads. and I guess Halloween's coming with the ice hockey masks. Anybody have ice hockey masks they wear around? Common goal. A team sport, you have a common goal. The common goal is not to be a star. The common goal is win the game. If everybody is a star in their position, they win the game. And they do share the rewards. Somebody who, there may be an outstanding quarterback. Now, he may after the season is over and they win number one, whichever sport they're playing, that person may get endorsements and get a lot of money that way. But as far as the team, I believe everybody gets the same ring. Everybody gets the same bonus. Everybody gets whatever rewards, they share the rewards. When I played in high school ball, we only lost 3 games in 3 years. And so we were constantly the champions of the league. And so we got these league jackets. Every single person got a jacket, whether they played 1 minute or they played every game. Every single person on the team shared in the rewards. Now let's look at this in Matthew 18. Because this is typical of the kingdom of God and of Christians and of people in general. Verse 1, at the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest? Everybody wants to be the greatest in everything. You know, and it's not, we should want to be the greatest, but not at the expense of other people. Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst and said, verily I say to you, except you be converted. Obviously, that attitude needs to be changed. Unless you be converted and come as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to look at this again in Matthew 20, because it was not just the apostles themselves. Look at this. Some of them were motivated by mom. Verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Isn't that typical? You know, there are a lot of people, they hang out of church, they don't come to church, they're out of church until suddenly they got this great need in their life, and then they come worship him because they desire something. Many times, unfortunately, when they get it, they're back out and, you know, not in church again. When we make that decision for Jesus, when I got born again, I was not a churchgoer when I got born again. I hadn't been in church for about who knows how long. I'm living in Israel as an archaeologist, living in Jerusalem. And I get saved. I get born again. And from that time on, my life changed. And I started to serve God all the time. I would be in church every week, even in Jerusalem. We had a church that met on Saturdays, the Sabbath, and I was in church. When I came back to the States, found a church to go to. Began to serve the Lord during the week and during the weekends. So here, she comes and worships because she wants something. And she said, Jesus said, what do you want? She said to him, grant that these my two sons may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. Well, we see it again. Now, even the mother is trying to intercede for the sons to get positions in the kingdom of God. You know, we can want and desire positions, but what we need to do is be like Jesus. We need to walk like Jesus. Look at it now in Mark 9. And this is Jesus in Mark 9 talking about this. Mark chapter 9. We'll pick up in verse 33. He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked the apostles, what was it that you disputed among yourselves in the way? What was the argument you were having? What were you discussing? By this time, they knew better. They didn't say anything. They held their peace. Because they disputed among themselves, who's better than the other? Who's the best Christian? Who's the best apostle? Who's the greatest one in the kingdom of God? Who's getting the Heisman Trophy when Jesus goes to heaven? He sat down and called the 12 and said, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last. And servant of all. Wait. Let's just take a little micro picture here. Yeah, selfie, a snapshot of the apostles at work. They come to the Last Supper, the seminal moment in the ministry of Jesus when he brings the old and the new covenants together, brings the Passover into the New Testament. And they're seated there. And Peter's not in the spot he expected to be in. And so Peter, from the positions that everybody was seated, we know where Peter sat. He sat in the seat of the host or the servant. That was the last seat left. And we know that by the way he motioned to John and where John was seated. By the way, the position of honor. Who do you think was seated in the position of honor? Jesus was not seated in the position of honor. I forget Leonardo da Vinci. He wasn't there, so his table was not correct. It was a triclinium table, a Roman table, not a Renaissance table. So Judas was in the position of honor. So Peter's over there, and now the host. What's the host responsible for at a dinner? You have people over to your dinner. What's the host responsible? The host is responsible with or to get their servants, or if they don't have servants, they themselves are to refresh you. Now, in the ancient world, refreshing was anointing with a fragrant oil and washing the feet. That's why Peter was so exasperated when Jesus picks up the towel in the basin and goes around washing feet. And he comes to Peter and says, "Not me, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet." Because he realizes with every foot that Jesus washed, he should have been doing that. And here's his Lord doing it. But Jesus came to do and to teach. And he wants us to understand that if you want to be number one, you take the lowest seat. If you want to be number one, you serve others. If you want to be number one, you don't be the Lord over everybody. You're not the one that's in the limelight and the spotlight. The limelight and the spotlight will find you through the ministry, through the signs and the wonders. There will be a spotlight of faith upon you and a spotlight of the presence of God. But it's a team effort. Everyone works together. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. There may be a quarterback in the pulpit, but the Heisman Trophy is available to everybody, not just the one. So Jesus says, he takes a child, sets him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whosoever shall receive one of these children in my name receives me. Whosoever shall receive me receives not me, but him that sent me." Now that child represents an untaught, unlearned child, but also represents new births coming into the kingdom of God. New friends, new folks coming into church. Represents anybody new, anybody who's not been here before. Anybody who's not been in the kingdom of God before. But now to flesh it out, we want to see what the Holy Spirit said to Paul in the letter to the Ephesians. So turn to the book of Ephesians with me, and we'll be here for the rest of the afternoon. The book of Ephesians, rest of the morning. Sorry, I'm not keeping you here till the afternoon. Have you ever been to a church like that? Pastor Ray Beth and I went when we were church shopping one time. We were looking for a church, and we visited a lot of churches. One church in particular, we didn't stay in this one. One church in particular, there was the worship and praise was real country. I like country, by the way. I like country. But it was when she got to the song, she's strumming on a guitar, and she got to the song, and it was Father Abraham. And, and I don't know if you ever remember a song called, I never heard it before that day, but there was one line in it that just got me. "Scratch the back of the one next to you." I think that was that in that song or was that a different song? And I'm like, what? How does that glorify God? And I'm not scratching your back. We didn't stay there. But then we went to another church. And they buried our car. I mean, it was blocked in the parking lot, so we were there for the duration. And that service started like at 10 in the morning, and it was 1:30, 2 o'clock before we got out of there. We just couldn't move. We were stuck there, just stuck. That was a good way to get them in. Now, if we just figure out how to get everybody in, we'll block you in here. Turn the elevator off, and you're good to go.
Well, you went to check.
I went to check on the car.
Out in the grassy field.
Yeah.
And then a lady came up to you to prophesy over you.
Yeah, that's true. I couldn't move because if you move, someone would prophesy over you.
And she came up and she said, "The Lord has said you wanted to go forth."
That's right. You need to go to the altar. Spirit of God showed me you want to go forth. And I said, "Oh, sister, I surely do want to go forth." I meant leave. She was talking about going to the altar. We got prophesied over at a camp meeting in a Chinese restaurant. Remember that one? We're standing in a Chinese restaurant, and John Osteen is right in front of us. And we're chatting with John Osteen, and suddenly someone comes up and taps us from behind and prophesies over us. I don't remember what the prophecy was, but anyway. We're talking here about the kingdom of God. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." We call these the fivefold ministry gifts, all right? We have these. In the body of Christ, there are people in these ministries. These are gifts. These are not superstars. These are gifts. These are servants. These are to serve the body. And so we need to keep everything in perspective. Our problem is that because we are so performance-oriented, we make them into superstars, and many of them, and you hear about it every other day, fall. Many of them, it goes to their head. And they fall because of success. They fall because of money. They fall because of sex. They fall because anything they want, they have. We cannot make one another superstars. Now, if you want to get me a Maserati, that's okay, but just don't make me a superstar. We need to keep everything in perspective. These are servants for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's to build the body. It's to perfect the people, build the body. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we're like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. We walk like Jesus. We minister like Jesus. I'm talking about all of us. We are Jesus to people who don't know him. We represent him. He's in us. And when we go to somebody who's an unbeliever and we share our faith, they hear Jesus. They hear Jesus speaking to them. The Spirit of God will speak to them. That's why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. The Spirit of God is in us to witness powerfully, to witness effectively. And so when we speak to them, they'll hear Jesus. When we touch them or pray for them, they'll sense the power of God. They're not going to sense your personal power, my personal power, but the power of the Holy Spirit, resurrection power, that touches them, changes them, and transforms them and heals them if need of healing. You'll pray with an unbeliever, they'll get an answered prayer. They've not had that before. You'll pray with somebody, they'll receive what we ask for. For whatsoever we ask in Jesus' name, we receive, that our joy would be full. And if you're praying for an unbeliever to get saved, it is a great joy when they come into the kingdom of God, isn't it? And so, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. All right. We're not to be children. Children are really lousy at team sports. Do you ever notice that? Children are really lousy. If they don't get their way, and it's an old phrase, they take their ball and they go home. And then you can't play. Children are lousy. And the church is full of children. He says, don't be children anymore, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. The doctrine that we are to adhere to is the doctrine of Christ, the Word of God, the Bible. Not what somebody thinks about the Bible, not a great book that's been written, not a prophet who's right half the time and wrong the other half of the time. Someone who is a prophet will always be right. I'm sorry, I know that's a hard rule, but it is the truth. Prophets don't make mistakes. Prophets are always correct. And if they should say something, that doesn't mean everything comes out of their mouth is correct. They may say something and they need to follow that up by saying, this is what I believe. This isn't from the Spirit of God. This is what I believe. You hear me say that sometimes. I say, this isn't the Word. This is what I believe about the Word. I'll try to reference that and let you know. And there are various times and I've gotten revelation and I'll say, this is my revelation on this and you can check it out. That we henceforth be no more children. Children are babes unable to speak. And I don't know any team sports that have babies, you know, that can't speak. It's pretty tough to communicate on the court, on the field, with people who can't speak. So he says that we're also subject to the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Part of team sports is you're trying to deceive the other side, aren't you? You've heard of the bootleg. Anybody know what a bootleg is? A bootleg is when the quarterback gets the ball, and now everybody's watching where the ball is, because whoever's got the ball, you want to just cream them, tackle them, knock them down. So the quarterback will hide the ball by his leg and run and try to get away and throw a pass. It's called a bootleg. He's hiding the ball. Many of the plays that they do it this way, this way, this way. We had a play, I can remember this play, where the quarterback would go like this, and one of the running backs would take it in his stomach but not grab the ball, and the quarterback would be watching what the defense did and kind of stepping with him, and if the defense came at that guy, he would pull the ball out and toss it to a guy out there. If the defense was out there, he'd let this guy keep it and go through. And he could also keep it himself if he wanted. It's an option. But the whole point is to deceive the other side. The enemy is trying to deceive us. We are in a battle. It's not a game. We don't play a game. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. The fight of our lives. Over this past year, we have watched COVID decimate our population of the world, including some good friends of mine. One just passed away this past week. And it is a laboratory-created virus that has been unleashed on the world. Now, we know what country it came from, but more importantly, it's demonic. And the enemy has used it to decimate the church. Now, praise God for all of you that are online. We've got 9 states online with us today. And I thank God for you, because many of you have compromised immune systems. Some of you, you just don't live near us, 9 different states, and this is such a blessing that you can be in church with us. But if you're here in the community, and we're an in-person church, if you're here in the community, you need to be here unless you do have a compromised immune system. Because the enemy wants to scatter the church. Now, can you imagine any ball team, whether it's hockey, ice, or field, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, soccer, you name it, whatever sport, if they're scattered across the field, how can they play? How can they communicate? How can they do? Now, I know soccer tends to be a bit more scattered, but generally, everybody's around. Those that are around the ball need to be there. I mean, defense has to be back in defense. But you know what I'm talking about. The enemy wants to scatter us so that our anointing is dissipated, so that our encouragement is dissipated, so that we get easily discouraged. Remember, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the lion, if you ever watch National Geographic specials, the lion never attacks the herd. The lion tries to lie in wait and get the one that's not paying attention, get the one that's weak, get the one that's off and distracted, get the one that's old and weak. And that's the one they attack. The enemy is as a roaring lion. He's looking to divide people from the herd, from the flock. Jesus called us a flock. We need to stick together. If we're on the same team, we need to be together, online, in person, together. So he says, but speaking the truth in love. I'm speaking the truth in love. You all know I love you, right? You know I love you, so I can say stuff. You know I love you. I love you, unless you're driving in front of me 10 miles below the speed limit. I love you. But if you're driving 10 miles below the speed limit, please get all out of my way. I still love you. I'll just love you in the rearview mirror. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We need to grow in our faith. Now, look, just look at Jesus. Just look at him. We're to grow into him. Our faith needs to be kicked up several notches, right? We need to grow in faith. Jesus, look, he speaks to a dead body, and he comes to life. We're to grow up into that, because he's that same one. Jesus said to us, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Are we really expecting greater works? Are we expecting bigger plays, better plays, greater plays? Are we ready to score for Jesus? It's time for us to grow in our faith in him. It's going to come through praying in the Holy Spirit, hearing the Word of God, focusing on the Word of God. Focus on God's Word more than the world's Word. And today we're bombarded with social media. Every time you turn around, everywhere you look, there's social this, social that, and it's pretty unsocial much of the time. What we want to do is focus on God and his Word, praying in the Holy Spirit. We will be empowered. When we come to those mountains, we move them in Jesus' name, because he said so. Act on his Word, and your spiritual muscles, your faith muscles grow. So growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, here he says, it's teamwork. The whole team is joined together. The whole team. Now, let me just give you an example. I played Little League football too. I started playing football when I was 7 years old. I played straight up through high school. Always on winning teams. And I played all kinds of positions. And I played every season. Never missed a season. I got to college. And I go to play in college. And all of the times I was playing, whether it was Little League football or high school, we had excellent coaches. I get to college, and the coach is an idiot. I'm sorry, but an idiot. Now, only an idiot would do this. First day of practice, we didn't do any stretching, calisthenics, anything. He tells everybody take a position and start a scrimmage. So I go to my position. There's somebody else there. I have to go to another position. Everybody's disorganized. Everything's a mess. First day of practice, first play of practice, not a real play, it's like a sandlot game, somebody hits me in the knee and I tear my ligaments and cartilage. And that's it. That is totally the fault of the coach. It wasn't my fault. Okay, the kid who did the block, that block is illegal, but that's another story. The coach was totally disorganized. And when the coach is disorganized, there will be injuries. Our coach, when we were in high school, used to tell us, the better shape you're in, the less injured you'll get. Now, that's not always true. There are some things that happen. But generally, the better shape you're in, you're not going to get injured as much. The better shape we're in spiritually, the less injured we will be spiritually. How many people disqualify themselves from the game because they're hurt? Their feelings are hurt. They're injured spiritually. Well, I don't like the way the pastor said that to me. I know. I don't like what he said from the pulpit. I know he's talking to me. Listen, when I'm talking to you, I'll say your name from the pulpit, Ralph. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry, Ralph. I didn't mean that. If I want to, I'm not going to preach something about you. I'll just talk to you off the pulpit, away from the pulpit. If you got a problem, I'll say something. I'll say it in love. I'll speak the truth in love. I'm not going to preach about you. And people are, who is he talking about? Oh, I know who he's talking about. And everybody starts thinking, we're not doing that. The whole body fitly joined together. Fitly joined together. We all have a part to play. We all have a position. What we need to do is find our position. And the coach will help you find the position. You know, when I'm not referring back to this because I'm trying to glorify myself. I'm referring back to this because some good examples. I played, believe it or not, defensive end. It was a small team, okay? But I was all league in the defensive end. But my junior year, you all know I ran track, and I started winning the 200-meter dash. I started to win. Well, my football coaches took note of that, so the senior year, they tried to make a running back out of me. So a coach will notice things about you. Like if I see you praying for people and they get healed, I'm not going to tell you to stop praying for people. I'm going to ask you to pray for people. I'm going to encourage you to pray for people. I'm going to send you to the hospital to pray for people. So, and now our coach is Jesus. He puts us into position. He's called you to this church because this is not a church where we're going to stroke you and say, oh, you're just the greatest thing on earth. We're going to challenge you to be more, do more, say more, see more, to grow in the Lord and the power of his might, to go out and win souls, to move mountains, as he said. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which... Okay, what that all means is that everyone works together as a team. Everybody works together. Nobody wants the other's position. Everybody works together. And when you work together, God gives you an anointing for your position. And when you do your position well, the whole team prospers. The plays work. You score and you win the game.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.